Hi, welcome to Webcamps TV. I'm your host, Brady Gaster. Corey's actually off camera. He'll be on a little bit later on. He's over there working. You might hear him giggling. And on the show today, we have some familiar faces. We have Syed Hashimi and Mads Christensen, who work on the on Hunter's team, pretty much, Moped's team.
That's right.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about some of the newness for web developers and Visual Studio 2013 that we have coming out, that these guys have been working night and day on for a while. So without further ado, I'm probably just going to turn it over. Since Mads is hooked up first, I'm going to turn it over and kind of let him run and talk about some of the good stuff now that we're back from build and we're all slept, rested, and ready to go.
Yes. Build was great. Mm-hmm. Now we're back. Mm-hmm. Business as usual. Mm-hmm. So we've been, as Brady said, we've been working really hard on getting ready for build and getting the Visual Studio 2013 preview out the door. And of course, we've done stuff since we shipped preview. So I hope to show you a little bit of that. One thing that people have really been interested in is this whole browser link. Mm-hmm. So I think we should take a closer look at that, and we have some new bits as well.
Nice.
So so here I have Visual Studio 2013, and it's just a website, so let me actually run this. So I'm actually running in multiple browsers here, so hopefully we should see Chrome and IE show up. And we do. So let me snap this to the side. So the first thing that we can see here is in BrowserLink is that we have this new little icon up here. And it will actually tell me that I have two browsers connected, Internet Explorer and Chrome. And that is exactly right. So if I make a change on my page here, let's just delete this guy.
Now, does it know that? Like, know that? Or does it assume that because you've previously selected those two browsers and hit F?
Yeah, yeah. I've previously set Visual Studio up to always launch Chrome and IE.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this tells you all the browsers that are connected at that time.
It
right?
works, yes. And any browser you want, it works with like simulators, emulators, and anything that understands JavaScript. I think we're going to get back to how this stuff works in a little bit.
Okay.
But let me just show you what we have in preview, and then I'll move into how it works and what we have in store for you guys.
I think that's a nice way of saying shut up.
I think so, yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, so I made my change on here over here on the left side in Visual Studio, and I can now click this little button up here, which is the refresh browser icon. And as you can see here, my two browsers updated, and my text is now gone. So let's just do that again. I'm going to have my text back here. I'm not going to save my file. I'm just going to click the button or Control Alt Enter. So that let me actually do that. And we can see the browsers are now updated. And it knows if I need to just save the file or it needs to rebuild or recompile the solution, depending on what file I'm editing, right? So it's pretty clever. So that sort of just eliminates the entire need of, build your project, Alt, tap to your browsers and hit F5 and do that whole dance that we do a billion times a day as web developers. So that's really, really cool. And we do this in 2013 in the preview. And the way that it works is that we actually connect through JavaScript and WebSockets, Visual Studio, to any of the browsers. So we actually inject a little bit of JavaScript code. Mm-hmm. This means that we now have everything that you can do in the browser through JavaScript can actually be sent back into Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the extensions that I have here actually did just that. You didn't notice anything, but I have a few extensions that I run, and one of them is reporting errors back into Visual Studio. And we can see down here that I have a few errors that it found. I'm missing some search engine optimization things and some mobile. I have a mobile issue here with missing a viewport mid attack. So I decided in my extension that I wanted to create these errors. I could do anything with the information that JavaScript can capture in the browsers. I can do whatever I want with that information within Visual Studio. So I've decided to create some validation here. So this one gives me some validation errors on search engine optimization. I'm missing a description meta tag. So if I double click the error, it'll ask me if I want to insert it. The point is just, you can actually see it in my build talk, which I have right here, where I actually do have it working. So go to my build talk and you can see how these things are hooked up.
Mads runs on what he calls Franken builds.
Yes.
This is probably a nightly build that he's tweaked. So
that's usually just an excuse that PMs use.
That is actually.
Don't blame me. It's got to be the bits. I mean,
right. It's got to be the build server.
It is the typical
developer
excuse.
X. You never know.
Yes.
Did you say that this is an extension that you created?
These are extensions, yeah. You want to see them?
Yeah, yeah. So are you saying, like, our developers that are out there could actually create browser link extensions just like you created this one?
That is right.
And how would I go about doing something
so
like
let me show you. So here I have a, this is an extension project in Visual Studio. So I will say that the extensibility APIs are not available in preview, but they will be available in the final version of Visual Studio 2013.
And when is that coming out?
You tell me. And so,
because you're pecking order.
And an extension basically consists of two parts, one C# part and one JavaScript part. Mm-hmm. So if we look at JavaScript, we can see that here I have what I call the CSS auto-sync. Let's actually see this running first. And now I hope that the demo gods are with me on this one. So let's change the background color. Let me get the browsers back up here. And I hit save, and it updates immediately. That's pretty cool, huh? Mm-hmm. So let me just comment out this. So I just hit save, control S, and immediately the screens update. We don't actually reload the browsers. We just reload the style sheets. That's why it's so fast.
Nice.
And the way that I wrote that is one piece of JavaScript, which is right here. So basically, I have a function here called refresh. And I can actually call this refresh function from within Visual Studio. And this piece of JavaScript actually lives in the browsers. It's sent out through the browser link connection to the browser, so this actually runs in the browser, but I can call it from Visual Studio. And what it does is that it just loops through all my linked style sheets and updates them. The C# part of it is also pretty simple. Let's get the right one. Here we go. So basically what it does is that it sets up a file system watcher. Whenever there's a change to any CSS file, it simply just fires this refresh function. It just calls out to the browser, all the clients, and calls the refresh function.
Nice.
So it's very, very simple and super, super easy to actually build these extensions.
When you did this at build, you actually had the iPhone browser pulled up as well, and it was refreshing in there too.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty much anything that supports JavaScript, right?
Anything. Okay. Anything, exactly. So here's some emulators. So we can just copy in the code here. Let's move this over. Let's color this blue here. And I'm going to save.
Nice.
And they all turn. So it's actually pretty sweet like this. And now let me scroll down. Let's actually go back to the white color here. So here we go. So if I scroll down, let's go over here. I can now sync all my browsers, hitting Control Alt Enter. I handle that in the browsers themselves. I can send from any browser, I can send an event to all the other browsers saying, hey, I'm at this URL, at this scroll position, all the other browsers please align to that and get in the same state.
Oh, that's cool.
And that actually extends to when I write something in a for field in one of the browsers, it's written in all the other ones. So this is just another extension as well.
Hmm.
So pretty cool stuff.
So you just did Control Alt Enter inside of a browser and it does the same thing?
It's pretty cool. Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. So if I go here, Control Enter, you see the iPhone and Chrome here navigates to the same position. So there's a lot of different things we can do here. What we're working on right now is to make sure that we have the entire mapping data ready for you guys. So if you want to write extensions, we actually know exactly what DOM elements map to the different elements in your C# that makes up your response,
nice.
The HTML itself. So just like Page Inspector knows these things, we're now going to extend that out so that any browser that has an inspect function will be able to do the inspection on the source code inside Visual Studio.
Nice.
This is really cool.
That's really, really cool.
Yes.
Have you shown this to the Glimpse guys yet? I bet they have some ideas.
Yes, I've shown it to Glimpse.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this will work very well with stuff like Glimpse.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So, so we're really, really seeing a lot of interest for browser link here. So
always scan this section.
Well, that was the wrong one.
Was that another extension?
That was something Windows. I don't know what that was. But here's actually how it works. So we actually insert some code at the bottom of your page. And this is just plain JavaScript. It validates perfectly. It does not do any harm if you want to run like PageSpeed or YSlow, these tools you do for analyzing performance. It actually plays very nice with them. Maybe not in preview, but in the later bits that I have here, we've kind of fixed all that stuff. So it really just sits in the background and doesn't intervene with your project or your website in any way.
Yep.
And there is one thing that a lot of people were very happy about. So let me actually show you that real quick.
And I'll take it that only gets injected when you're running from Visual Studio. Like if I were to deploy it, it's going
to
be gone.
You have to run in debug mode by default.
Okay.
You have to have Visual Studio installed on the same machine as the web server. And you have to have the same project open in Visual Studio at the same time as it's being served from the server.
Okay.
Right. But there is a switch you can turn it completely off, either from within Visual Studio or from within the app itself.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's a funny little thing that it was basically, this was my first test, and I have a Chrome extension. So notice up here that Chrome, I have a little Visual Studio logo showing up here in the address bar. So basically, it looks for that piece of JavaScript that's injected, and if it finds it, it will show this little icon.
Hmm.
And if I click it, I can see all the files that actually make up my page, all my different Razor files and CSHTML and C# files and so on. And if I click one of them, you see here how they just open up in Visual Studio. So we have this complete link between the two now. It's really sweet.
That is fantastic.
It's kind of scary, actually.
It is, right. Yeah,
it's good stuff. And you did the build talk, and it went pretty well, so there's like more information in the build talk about kind of how to do this. And I think you also talked about some of the new HTML editor tweaks and improvements that you're making. You want to give us kind of a preview as to what that's going to involve?
We have more now.
Oh, really?
We have even more.
Good.
Yeah, let me show you some of that. That's actually pretty cool. So let's just new open HTML file here. So HTML, we have this brand new HTML editor in Visual Studio 2013. And we can now do stuff that we never could do before. We can have very dynamic IntelliSense, for instance. So here's one thing that I really, really like. And before I kind of played around with it, I did not know how much I would actually use this feature. But let's say I want to write a copyright statement. And now I have to insert this little character, the circle with the C inside of it, right? And so what I would do normally, because I don't remember all of these different HTML entities, that's what they're called, these little characters. So I would just go search for them online, and that's really annoying. But I know that they do start with an ampersand. Mm-hmm. So now if you type ampersand, we actually give you full IntelliSense for all of these different entities, including the copyright one. And notice here how you get the little preview.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's pretty sweet.
Hmm. So that means I can probably stop misspelling Magnus Martinsen's name now, because it's the A with the thing over it or the O with the thing over it. I think I've got exactly. Functionality for that now.
Yeah, you get all the characters from like different alphabets. You
nice.
Know?
That'd be good.
Yeah. We also have some. So actually, this is very, very new. It was from yesterday. So let me actually show you that. Let's just use Zencoding here for a second. So let's create, what should we create? Let's create a UL with 5 LIs with 3 words of lorem ipsum. So one of the things that we've done here.
That kills me. Just kills me.
Let's create a duplicate line here. Now we have 2 of the exact same lines. So what I can do now, I can select however many lines I want and right click, and we now have some additional functionality. Not in HTML per se, but actually in any language, in any editor here. But I can say remove duplicate lines.
Cool.
And here we go. So that's really, really handy in a lot of situations. Also when it comes to like sorting, which is something I do all the time, especially in XML. I write a lot of XML and I want it sorted alphabetically, either ascending or descending. And I can do that here as well, like this.
Nice.
So just small little improvements like this, really, really helpful, I think. So we have very dynamic IntelliSense now. So let me actually show you. Let's just create this guy here. So an input field. Now I want to write a label for this.
What's up with the Hungarian notation?
I don't know. Is that a problem? This is from my web form stage, huh? Yeah. But you see here that we actually give you IntelliSense now.
Nice.
For these IDs. So this was not really possible. Well, it was not very easy for us to do these things before, but now it's super simple, and there's a full extensibility API. So a lot of this functionality I actually wrote in Web Essentials. So I'm just using the public APIs of the editors. So it's actually really sweet that we now get this very rich and very dynamic IntelliSense. So And I could go on. I could really go on about the HTML editor. Go see the build talk. There's a lot of examples of some of this stuff.
Nice.
And basically, I've been using this for quite a while now, and it's incredible how big a difference it is.
Yeah.
The formatter no longer destroys your page when you do format document, right?
Nice.
We just fixed everything that was like annoying before that maybe you didn't even notice because we kind of grow used to it over time. But it's just so nice.
Yeah,
it really is.
You showed me something the other day where it'll automatically indent. What was that? You got a P tag and you added some stuff to it and then hit enter and it...
Yeah, I actually don't have that enabled right here. But yeah.
Okay.
Basically what we try to do is that whenever you write HTML, that should be, the editor should do exactly what would happen if you do format document.
Right.
But at the same time, it should respect however you want to indent, however you want to structure your elements and so on. So we want to get as close to that as possible so you no longer have to actually say format document because it happens automatically as you type in a very unobtrusive way.
Right.
That's important.
Right.
So.
Or as you showed a build, if you want to actually say format document, you could do that with your speech to...
Voice command.
Yeah, voice command.
Hey, let's try that.
Let's try that.
Okay, so we need silence. Yeah, let's see if I have it here. Let me just zoom out. Format document. There we go.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
You guys worked on it together, right? Was that Farticus?
Somewhat. It's mostly...
That was Farticus.
Yeah, right.
Okay, cool. I haven't seen Farticus shit either, by the way. I haven't installed that yet.
He's
really?
Got it installed.
I have it right here.
Yeah, nice. Right.
Yeah?
You just have to break something to use it.
Well, there is a button as well.
Oh, there. Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
You can play random sounds.
We shan't push that today. Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for that. Anything else you want to add? Do you want to request some input from the community?
Yeah, I mean, go try the Visual Studio 2013. What we really want as feedback from you guys is just all the little details that annoys you, right? So that could be formatting. It could be validation that we got a little wrong. It could be all sorts of things. Even the smallest things are important to us. So anything, please reach out. Twitter, email, however you like it, we're going to listen.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. With all that out of the way, talking about browser link and some of the HTML stuff, I think that Syed has some good stuff to show. But before he does, we have a special treat for you today, thanks to our editor, Bob. As you may have noticed, or not, because he probably slipped it in very ninja-like, Syed is engaged in a type of social engineering throughout his various appearances on Channel 9. Today we're actually going to close that out.
It's a fancy way of putting it.
It's a very social engineering.
Right.
Social experimentation.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much every show that Syed's been either on this show or on Robert's show,
right.
I'm dying laughing. I'm like laughing on the inside here. He has changed his appearance. So he shaved his goatee or he grew his hair out or he had a ponytail or whatever, even with AzureConf, he like had like a tattoo on his face or something. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
So Bob is
surgically removed.
Oh, you did? Okay. So Bob's actually gone through and made a little montage video of the many faces of Syed. We're going to show that to you right now.
Prepare yourself. This is going to be a time to remember.
That's pretty interesting, man.
Hey, man. You gotta add a little bit of spice to life.
Yeah, you're kind of a master of disguise there.
Exactly. You know, I go by many names, many faces, you know?
That's true.
That's how you do things. Abraão. I have names in different languages, too.
That's cool.
Exactly.
Well, let's switch our output here to your computer, which Maz is already engaged in.
Shall we?
Yeah, buddy.
All right, so I'm going to talk about some Azure websites updates that we have. Azure websites as well as some publish enhancements that we've got. So just like Mads is trying to reduce some of the friction, you know, in web development, we're also trying to reduce some of the friction in publishing as well as Azure websites. Okay, so let me open up the Azure portal here. So here in the Azure portal, we can see I've got one website. It's called Syed04. And now let me open up Visual Studio. So inside the Server Explorer, we can now see that I've got a Windows Azure node. This is new in 2012. They were just kind of nodes kind of hanging around by themselves. Mm-hmm. And now we can see we've got a Azure Websites node here. Mm-hmm. From here, I can see my Syed04 website.
Or any other websites for that subscription?
Exactly, right. Yep, all the websites that I had inside that subscription.
Does it work by subscription? Or could you have multiple subscriptions?
You can have multiple subscriptions, okay. Yeah, cool. Exactly.
Good.
So
if
you can go in and say import, mm-hmm. You can go ahead and import additional subscriptions.
Okay.
One of the new features that is coming out as well is the ability to filter over the subscriptions and regions and whatnot.
Nice.
So if you wanted like a one subscription view or a one region view or, you know, one or two or however many you want,
right.
You can go ahead and do that as well.
That's good.
You can double click on this guy and then see all the various different settings that we have. But let me show you one thing that's actually newer that is not out there and is not inside the preview. And that is you can right click and say add new website for Azure websites here. So I'll go ahead and create one.
Do you listen to me? That is nice.
I did. This idea, if it wasn't for you, it never would have happened, Brady. Thank you so much for the feedback. Let me go ahead and create Brady demo here. I'll say West US. And let's also keep an eye on this website's portal back here. With all luck, once this actually gets created, the website should refresh, and we'll see the Brady demo website has been created.
All right. This for 2013 only?
This is for 2013, but we will be releasing this for 2012 at some point.
Okay.
You know, obviously I cannot give any specific dates.
Soon.
But yes, soon.
Yeah.
Exactly, right. Okay, I've created my Brady demo here. I was hoping that the websites would automatically refresh, but let me just go ahead and do a refresh on my own. And hopefully we should see Brady demo show up here. Okay, great. So now we see Brady demo. So once you've kind of configured Visual Studio with your subscription, mm-hmm. You can create websites, publish to them. I guess I didn't show you the publish part, but you can go ahead and create the website. Now let me show you how can we publish to this guy. All right, you have two options, right? One, you can download your publish profile if you want. Let me go ahead and click this guy. So previously, if I wanted to publish, I would have to go to the portal, find the website, click the download profile link, and not to mention sign in, and then go from there. But here we can see it just went ahead and downloaded my publish settings file directly.
Nice.
So I could import this inside Visual Studio and then publish. Let me create a project, and I'll show you what's actually a better way that kind of fits the developer workflow a little bit better.
Okay.
Because it's not really intuitive for me to go to Server Explorer to create a website first.
And while you're doing that, you want to talk about this change authentication button that I know you worked pretty hard on?
Exactly, yeah. So let's talk about change authentication. In Visual Studio 2012, for MVC, you might have noticed that we had two similar but slightly different project templates. One of them was a internet mm-hmm. Template, and then the other was an intranet template. Mm-hmm. The difference between those two things is really the authentication model that's used. Mm-hmm. So the intranet template was using Windows Forms, and the internet template was just using, you know, standard ASP.NET individual membership. Now in Visual Studio 2013, we've kind of made authentication like a first-class citizen.
Nice.
So you can say, hey, I want a web forms project or an MVC project, and I want this particular type of authentication. Nice. So it's much more explicit.
Okay.
Could that be like Facebook login?
If you wanted Facebook login, you would do individual user accounts.
Okay.
And if I zoom in, we can see that we've got Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Twitter. And then you can also add additional items.
Nice. I think people are going to love that.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
cool.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally agree. All right. So now, one of the other big items that we worked on that I probably won't demo here because this particular build doesn't have all the mm-hmm. support. It's got the UI, but it doesn't have the support, is the organizational accounts. So if you're using Windows Azure Active Directory, mm-hmm. there's like a 20-page document about how to set this up manually.
Mm-hmm.
But with 2013, you can go in here and put your domain. It could be a Windows Azure Active Directory or Office 365 domain.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll actually provision everything that we need on the Active Windows Azure AD side
mm-hmm.
and also configure your app to use that. So it's a lot simpler to just create an app, that uses Windows Azure AD for authentication.
Nice. It's pretty cool. It's fantastic.
That is fantastic. Let me create this project here. I'll create a web forms project. once this is done, I'll go ahead and show you how to publish to it.
Do you dig in this, Corey?
Totally.
You're looking really excited over there, Corey. All right, cool. It's been created. Let me just do a build just to make sure that everything is good. All right, so it builds, and now let me show you what's like a more streamlined way of actually publishing this guy. Go ahead and open the publish dialog. I'll click import. From this point, I can see, hey, import from Azure websites. Mm-hmm. But now we've got this new button. All right, from here, I can see that same exact dialog.
Ooh, I like that.
We'll say Brady 2. I'll say West US. You can also create a linked database if you wanted to as well.
Oh, cool.
Not going to do that now, but you have to take my word for it. It does actually work.
It works.
Right. We had our top dev writing this stuff. Trust me, dude.
Bill.
Yeah, right. So
Bill's a ninja.
This stuff is definitely solid.
Yeah.
All right, let me go ahead and click OK here. At that point, it created the website, downloaded the publish profile, and then all I really need to do is go ahead and click publish here. I don't think it gets a whole lot easier than this. You know, if you're using Azure websites. Yeah, here. It just refreshed in the back. Brady 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So now it's publishing that guy out. And then we'll show you some other stuff that we've got going on as well.
Nice.
All right. So that's been published. So let's talk about some of the other Azure website stuff that we have. So.
Oh, and Bootstrap is the new template engine, right?
Bootstrap is the new template engine.
That's awesome.
So we've got the whole responsive design here. So. If I extend it out, we can see my menu is in line. And then if I shrink it, we can see my menu goes here.
Nice.
And
just save me about 2 hours per site.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. At least.
At least.
Feel free to compensate me for that.
I plan on it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. You take credit for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly, yep. Even though it may not necessarily be all of my work, definitely will take credit for all of it. Okay, so now let me...
I'll pat Bill on the back.
I'm going to show you some really cool stuff that we have with streaming logs and Windows Azure. So let me do a refresh here. And then what I'll do is once I can see my Brady 2 website, I'm going to right-click on this and go into the View Streaming Logs and Output window. I'll go ahead and configure this guy, set it up. Before I do that, I need to drill into the settings here and increase the verbosity. Because right now it's just set on to error, but I'll go ahead and make it to verbose, and then go ahead and save that.
And that'll actually save the config back out.
That saves it back out to Windows Azure. So now let me go into my app and make a couple trace statements here, and then we'll see how do those logs start flowing through.
Hey, can you go as far as to look at the, because you look at the size of the log files that are out there, and whenever they're reaching their maximum, kind of give a warning? And so you can like right-click and say,
nope.
How many logs do you have? Can do that?
Nope, can't do that. You can download all the logs.
Yeah.
But yeah, like what you said, they basically, you can't do that, but what you can do is you could also configure those logs to actually be written into table storage. So
right.
If you were concerned with losing log statements,
mm-hmm.
That's what you should really be doing.
Okay.
Let me add a new file here.
I'll call it. Package that'll do that, you know.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should promote it then.
I did.
Well, I haven't heard about it. All right, so let me add this error.aspx here. I'll double click into the CS file, and I'm just going to throw an exception when I load that page. Okay.
I think you had two
page loads.
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of it. All right, great. Let me build and then publish again. Oops. See, this is why I build instead of just publish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. So let me publish it out.
There's a feature idea. When you ever do a publish, do a pre-build.
Well, yeah, it would just take time. But we do actually kick off a build, but I don't want to do it before the publish dialog comes up.
Okay.
But that would have been a bad experience because I would have published, I would get an error, then I'd have to go and fix it, right?
Gotcha.
But yeah, we do a build, of course.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so I've just published it out. Let me load this file to the left side. I've already got the streaming logs loaded up here. So we can see my default ASPX has been loaded here. Let me refresh it a couple more times. We'll see that
nice. You
know, it is in real time.
And just to be clear, the browser is actually the live side running on Azure, not on your local machine.
Exactly right. Yep. So if I looked at this URL, we can see that it's brady2.azurewebsites.net.
Yeah, I don't buy it. Let me see your host file. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right, now let me do error.aspx. We can see I've got my error, and I don't get any details, which is by design. But with inside the streaming logs, we can see, hey, I've got a file not found exception. Cannot find the required file, brady.xml.
I like that.
This is going to be really helpful for you, I know, because you know, you're constantly publishing stuff, and then you know, your app doesn't work for one reason or another, usually developer error. But so this, I made it for you as well, Brady.
Appreciate that.
All right, cool. Let me show you some other kind of enhancements that we have.
Hang on. This is Azure only, right?
This is Azure only, the streaming logs.
Yes.
But the I'm going to show you some other features which are not specific to Azure here.
Okay.
All right, so let me make a change.
Because you can do that with like FTP or web deploy too.
The streaming logs, you mean?
No, the publishing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
He's asking that because he uses FTP. He wants to make sure he can.
I'm about to show the feature which Mads has been asking for forever, basically, right? So now,
what, FTP?
I've just made a couple of changes, right? I'm going to show it to you with web deploy first. I've actually showed this before, but I want to relate it back to something else. So now I've made a couple of changes to this default at ASPX.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to quickly publish this, I can right-click and then say publish. I can also preview the changes, or I could actually download the version from the server instead. So that has been working for web deploy for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but now let me show you how we've kind of, we've lit it up for some other publish methods, right? So what I'll do is I'll, let me go here and delete everything, and then I'm going to publish through the file system. So I'll create a new file system publish profile here. Okay, file system.
Mm. That's cool.
Publish this guy out.
So you could use this if you were building like an intranet app and you wanted to publish it out to like a local UNC path.
Exactly, right. And actually, file system is by far our most popular publish method.
Mm.
So I'm thinking that a lot of people are going to start gaining some functionality out of this. Let me refresh this guy.
Wow.
All right, we can see my files have made it. Let me make a change here. All right, cool. So I've just made that change. And then I can right-click and say preview, and then we can see the delta here.
Nice.
Between what? Between what you just published to that location?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Between these two. So I'm going to go ahead and open this guy up in Notepad++. So now let me go ahead and make that change and publish it. So I'll go ahead and say publish. It's done. Let me go back here. I'm notified about the file change. Boom. So if you've set your published profiles up to where you're publishing to a network path, like Brady said, to your IIS server, and you need to make a couple quick changes to a few key files and then republish, these features are going to, you know, kind of definitely kind of, you know, remove some of those cuts. And, you know, it'll take like 15 or 20 seconds off here and there,
mm-hmm.
but that 15 and 20 seconds really starts building up.
I like that. That's
awesome. It could be a lot more than 15 or 20 seconds because of that build that you're talking about. So
yeah.
if you had a huge project and it takes 5 minutes to build, this is going to be an invaluable feature.
That's awesome.
And so basically I can sit and I can type in HTML or whatever it is that I'm changing and just hit a keyboard shortcut. You went into the context menu, but there's a keyboard shortcut too, right?
That's right. Let's show the keyboard shortcuts. So it's Alt semicolon P.
Okay.
So let me get rid of this. I'll
no E.
Okay. Oh, is that right? No E? All right. Alt semicolon P. Boom, you see how fast that was?
Yeah.
You didn't even have time to look over it.
That is amazing. So this works for web deploy and file system.
And FTP.
Yes!
Right. Okay, so Mads.
I no longer have to use DreamViewer anymore
right,
for my web development.
Mads has been really bugging me about this FTP support. But the fact is, you know, FTP users are far less than file system and web deploy. So it was really just a matter of prioritization. But now we've kind of rounded out all the corners. So you've got quick publish support for web deploy, file system, FTP, and that's all you need, right?
That's all you need, yeah.
But that's really good. That means that the same keyboard shortcut and the same behavior, it works in no matter what publish method you use, right?
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
Yep.
Now, is that a global shortcut key? Because that doesn't look like the one that I've always hit, and it seems like I have to be in Solution Explorer before it works.
The one that happened before, so if you remember correctly, when I was on the show before, the shortcut key was actually Alt-PP.
Right.
Right, but that was an epic fail on my part, because Alt-P is actually connected to the project menu. So by creating Alt-PP, if you had web installed and you did Alt-P, it would no longer open the project menu.
Okay.
Right, so that was like, I take full responsibility for that myself, just like I take full credit.
Right, of course. Right. Well, let me go through one more thing with you real quick.
Why don't we go through one more thing, Brady?
Why don't you right-click the solution, and or right-click the site, and do a full publish? Because I want to point something out here real quick that took me forever to find. If you do publish and then you go, where is it?
Should I go back to the web deploy one?
Yeah. If you do a start preview there, one thing that I want to point out that not a lot of people know about is if you double click one of these files, it'll actually show you the diff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is relatively new as well. So we came out with the quick publish stuff.
Right.
And then we came out with this.
Cool.
This is all Bill as well, you know.
Of
Bill,
course.
It actually, all of these features kind of hinged on a feature that Bill and I basically shoved in at the last minute for Visual Studio 2012.
Okay.
And that was the web config preview stuff.
That's pretty
so
cool.
If you take a look at the web config, you can preview the transforms.
Yep.
If it scrolls. So now we've got this preview here.
Cool.
If we had never implemented this one feature, and if we had never pushed really hard to get this in at the last minute, none of these other preview stuff would have ever popped up. So, you know, it's really important that we get things in at the last minute.
Cool.
Even if it's risky.
Yeah.
You know.
But this is also why feedback is so important, that you guys give us some feedback, because a lot of stuff like this actually happens because you make us aware of something.
That's right.
And even if it's the last minute, we might be able to push it in. So
this particular item, the whole quick publish stuff where you right-click a file or two or three files and say publish, that actually came through Rick Strahl. He's an ASP.NET insider.
That makes sense.
And he said, hey, I would really like to try to decrease my workflow, save some time. And then, even after we implemented the support, then he comes back and says, hey, I would really like to basically be able to right-click on the file and say publish. Because he said, hey, while I'm editing the file, then I have to go and find it in Solution Explorer, right-click and publish. We are planning on bringing that feature for the final version of 2013.
Nice.
We just haven't been able to do it yet.
Cool.
And that'll light up for all the publish options as well.
Call it Feature Strahl.
Feature Strahl.
Feature Strahl. That's the name of the
feature. Project Strahl.
Project Strahl. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Exactly.
I think so too. Awesome.
What's up with your shirt, Brady?
Oh, my shirt.
What is up with that shirt?
you guys know I do a little bit of robotics here and there and play around with microcontrollers and that kind of thing. This is basically a shirt that says resist with like ohm resistors, electronics resistors. The reason I wore this shirt today is my good buddy Jim Christopher from North Carolina. I sent him a Twitter message and said, hey, I'm going to be on webcams. I'm going to be hosting webcams, like when I first came to Microsoft. I said, what shirt should I wear for my first show? And Jim said, wear your resist shirt. Like, it was kind of an inside joke, resist Microsoft. You know, he's like a PowerShell MVP, so he's like on board. But he said, wear your resist shirt. I said, okay, cool. So I wore my resist shirt on my first show, during which I interviewed Vishal Joshi on the show. And the reason that I'm wearing the show today is that this is my last show on webcams. And the reason that I had you guys on today is I'm actually going to be joining their team. So I'm going to start working with these guys in the Hunter and Mohit's org, working on Azure stuff, probably Azure SDK stuff, and hopefully I'll be able to help Maz out with some of this nifty SignalR browser link stuff that he's got going on.
Oh, yeah.
Web Essentials too. So this will be my last show on Webcams TV. I've definitely enjoyed the last year plus, however long, hosting you guys on the show and other guys on the show, Vishal and everybody else. But we're going to turn it over to Corey. Corey's going to kind of lead the charge here. And you'll be reporting to Corey from now on webcams. And I wanted to say thanks a lot for the opportunity to be on the show. Thanks to Drew Robbins for suggesting that I be on the show. And thanks to Gonas for taking care of us while we've been on the show. So that's that. It's a wrap. So thanks a lot, guys. Let's get out of here and give Corey the desk.
Yep.
Cool.
Let's do this.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
See ya.
Ready?
The charm.
Well, I guess I'm alone now, but hopefully you guys keep on coming back and watching me here on Webcamps TV.
Hey, welcome to Webcamps TV. Hey. Hi, welcome to Webcamps TV. I'm your host, Brady Gaster. What do you think? Should we have a list of on one of the whiteboards of things you should not say in the studio?
It'd be too long.
Before Brady and I start each show, we try and make ourselves laugh because as soon as we get into the intro, someone just busts a gut at.
Gonas! Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Awesome. Ready?
Nope. We're gonna laugh.
Ready.
Awesome.
I had a really funny moment last night that I'll tell you about because it's just funny.
Just hit the button you said you would.
Oh, by the way, you need to... Oh, never mind. Ready?
Ready.
You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Really?
Not clear. Alright. Hi. Welcome to Webcams TV.
Okay, I'm gonna lose my shit. Dude, seriously?
I'll pause it and they'll know to edit it out and everything.